Okay, so what we're going to talk about this morning is a phrase I've got, which is stages in the journey. That's what I'm going to talk about. Numbers chapter 33. Please. I want you to find it, because I'm going to have some participation in a minute. I hate participating, but I like to inflict it on other people whenever I can. Someone's at the front says, right, participate and do this. I'm always resistant, but I quite enjoy inflicting it on others.
Remember.
I know.
Numbers what?
33, verses 1 to 2. I'll read it and then we're going to go back over it and I'm going to get you lot to participate. Okay. It's only just to reinforce that. But I'll read it. So Numbers 33 verses 1 to 2. Stages in the journey is what we're going to be talking about. Right, so here are the stages in the journey of the Israelites. This is the NIV version. When they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's command, Moses recorded the stages in their journey, and this is their journey by stages. I mean, how many times do we need to say the same thing? But it said it three times there, didn't it? Right, so just to reinforce that point, this side of the room, when we get to the word stages, because I'm going to reread this, you're going to say stages. This side of the room, when we get to the word journey, you're going to say journey. It's just so that we come away from this today remembering what I've actually said. Right, so I'm going to read it again. Right, so here are the
stages
in the
journey
of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And at the Lord's command, Moses recorded the
stages
in the
journey.
This is their
journey
by
stages.
Right, so what am I going to be talking about this morning?
Journey.
Thank you very much. You can all go. That was it, Ed. This is what you were asking me. That's it, job done. Right, so we're going to be talking about stages in the journey. They're the key words. Okay, a journey, it literally is travelling from one place to another. It's not rocket science, is it, this? It's travelling from one place to another. A stage is a point, a period, a stop in a process or development. So we're going to be talking about, I suppose I better give you some context of this story. Some of you may know it better than others. It's about the Israelites, and it's about the story of them and their journey and the stages of that journey, the process that happened from them leaving Egypt to the point where they've travelled through the wilderness for 40 years and they come out the other end and they end up on the plains of Jericho. Okay, it's that whole story, and in between there are multiple stages that took place. Different points where they camped and stopped for different periods of time. Some of those places where they stayed, they remained there for longer than others. At one point, it's at Mount Sinai, I think, they were there for over 2 years. I never knew that until I actually started looking at it. They were there for over 2 years. Mount Sinai. Where God gave them the Ten Commandments and all manner of powerful things happened. They're in that place for 2.5 years. There's other locations that they literally there for a day. So when they came out of Egypt, so they were slaves in Egypt, and God told them to leave, and then they got to the Red Sea, and then there was that miraculous intervention by God through Moses. The parting of the Red Sea, and they went from one side to the other. Some of the camps were literally there for a day. It was like a fast time, ongoing thing that was taking place. And they couldn't just remain where they were, otherwise they would have been overtaken by the Egyptians, wouldn't they? So they're in different places for different lengths of time. Some of these locations and some of these stages were more significant than others in some ways. Yet in other ways, the more mundane. Because if you go, if there's a whole list here, I'm not going to read it to you. There's lots of locations that when you actually look at it, it doesn't say anything else about it. So if you were to carry on reading reading Numbers 33, it is literally just a list of places. And if you were to read it, you'd think, how dull. Okay, but actually, there's more to this. And some of those places are mentioned once, and some of them, you can't even work out what's gone on there. But nevertheless, it was part of the journey that they had to take. And it might not be significant to us, nothing really happened there, but nevertheless, it was part of the journey, and that makes it significant. So it's all about, basically, the development and the change that took place in the nation of Israel, basically. It works at many different levels, this story. So there's a historical part to it. So there's dates, locations, there's the names of people, clans, how long they were there, what happened, historical things. Okay? That's one level that this works at. But the Bible doesn't just work at a historical level. And this story speaks at lots of other different levels. There's a spiritual level to this. There's a spiritual aspect to this. There's an individual aspect to this about how God works internally within us. There's a corporate level to this. There's a group level to this story. And that's what the scripture does. It works on lots of different levels. And I just want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to minister that to you this morning, because sometimes we can miss that. When we read some of these stories, we can miss that. Sometimes we can read them and it's just a series of historical events, but it isn't. Okay, God wants to minister at a deeper level. So this story of the Israelites is a picture. It's a picture of being led from captivity to being led to being a ground taker, a destroyer of strongholds, and a plunderer of the enemy. That's what it's a picture of. It's really, I like to use a word. So it's a picture of the Israelites being led from captivity to being ground takers, destroyers of strongholds, and plunderers of their enemies. They started off in Egypt. They started off in a place called Ramesses. It's a bit weird, isn't it? Because we can't relate to these places because we don't live there. You know, so they started off in Southend. That's just, you know. And they went all the way to the plains of Jordan. Ramesses over here, captivity. Plains of Jordan over there, the place where God said to them, I want you to go and take the land. But in between, there was this process that took place of development and God working in them. And it took 40 years. And that process was the death. It sounds a bit morbid, but this is what happened. Was the death and birth of a new generation. That's what happened. So the Israelites came out of captivity. God delivered them from Egypt. They were there as slaves. And God said to Moses, I want you to go into Egypt. I want you to stand against Pharaoh. And I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Pharaoh refused to do that. And then all of these miraculous signs and wonders took place. But Pharaoh hardened his heart, didn't he? And eventually he allowed them to go. And they started off in Ramesses, and left Egypt, left their captivity, left the slavery, the bondage, the hardship that they were living under. And they started out on their journey. That was the very, very start of a long, long process. Basically, it was the working, but it was from that place, and it didn't take too much long after that, when they started to go into the wilderness, that what happened? They started to get disillusioned, didn't they? Quite early on?
Yeah.
It wasn't that far into it. They started to ask about what? Food? They started to ask about water. They started to wonder what they were doing there. They started to hanker after Egypt, wasn't it? Started to say, why on earth? What on earth are we doing here? Yeah, God's miraculously taken us out of Egypt. Now we're stuck here with you, Moses. You brought us out to die here. You know, I think there was almost like a rebellion from the very outset. God started to work a process in them from the very outset. A process of death and birth of a new generation. That the people that came out of Egypt weren't the people that we find on the plain of Jordan 40 years later. It wasn't the same generation. It wasn't the same group of people. And I've spoke about this particular thing lots and lots of times in the past, but it's just something that God keeps bringing back to me over and over again. That group of people that came out of Egypt was a completely different generation 40 years later.
Mm.
Because they had a rebellious heart and they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. And God said to them, you will die in the wilderness. You won't see the land that I'm giving you. And it took 40 years to do that. The old generation rebelled against God and they weren't obedient to him and they desired to be back in captivity. That is what ultimately they desire. And God wants to lead us from captivity to being a ground taker. That's what God wants to do. That is the process that God wants to work in all of us. When we didn't know God, when we were in darkness, when we rebelled against him, when we rejected him, we were in captivity. We were in bondage, we were in slavery to darkness. That's the reality of it. We were in that place. We were in Egypt. And God took us out of that place when we chose to have faith in him through Jesus. And when we accepted that we were sinners and that we'd done stuff wrong and that we'd rebelled against God, and when we accepted that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour and that he died, that his blood was shed and that he was raised up again, when we believe in that, God delivered us from darkness into his kingdom, took us out of captivity and started us on a journey. A journey made up of what? Many what? Stages. Because I don't know if you've worked this out, but we haven't got it all sussed out yet, have we? I certainly haven't. But that's what God started to do with them, and that is a picture. This story is a picture of what God is doing with us as individuals, and it is a picture of what God is doing with us as groups, as Christians together. He is leading us from captivity through a process to be ground takers and destroyer of strongholds, advancers of the kingdom of God. That's what ultimately God wants to do, and God is doing that to different levels and different speeds and different people's lives. So this whole principle of death and regeneration is a picture of what was to come. It's actually a New Testament principle, isn't it? This whole thing of death and regeneration. Okay. So I'm actually going to go into the New Testament. Sorry. Is that all right, Dave? I'm going to the New Testament.
I want to show you where it is.
read the New Testament a lot.
Take a right.
Where are we going?
Romans 6, sorry. Right, so what I'm saying here, is it really clear?
Yeah.
Because
yes, it is.
If it isn't, then I'm doing something wrong. Okay. Romans 6, I'll read bits of it, not the whole thing maybe. Okay. Verse 2, we die to sin, how can we live any longer in it? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Sounds weird, doesn't it? You think, how does that work? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. Right, so what I've been talking about in Numbers there, we're talking about an old generation, okay, that God said, you will not see the land that I have promised you. You will die in the wilderness, and you will not see that land. There's a process of death. It doesn't sound great, does it? But that is what it talks about in Numbers. I've lost my place. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Yes. Right, so he's saying, count yourselves dead to sin. You've been crucified, your old person, that person that you were, that person that rebelled against God, that person that hated God, that person that was full of their own pride and independence against the things of God. Count that person dead. The trouble is, sometimes they come back to life, don't they? And if I was to read chapter 7 of Romans, you see that whole conflict that it talks about. Like, it's where it gets really probably the wordiest section of the whole Bible, where Paul says, you know, that thing that I don't want to do, I do, and you know, the thing that I desire to do, I don't do, and so it goes on. I'm not reading that. I'll get tongue-tied. There's this whole process going on, this whole battle, this whole war going on within us. And in my view, the book of Numbers, well, the Israelites' journey is a picture of that. It's a very clear picture of what was to come. The process, the stages of God working in us and sanctifying us and setting us free and making us something that we were from the very outset, transforming us from one thing into another for a greater purpose. That's what he wants to do. And that is what he is doing. So if you were to read that whole story about the Israelites, that, like, if we carry on in Numbers there is just a great big list of locations, and there's probably about 40 plus, something like that. And at some of them, mighty things happened, powerful things happened. At some of them, like I say, nothing too interesting. But I believe that the challenge this morning for us and all of us is to look at our own journeys. Look at our own journeys, because it's like Moses is having a bit of a review here, isn't it? He's written all this stuff, And at the end, he's sort of saying, right, this is the journey that we went on, and these are the different stages, these are the different points. I'm just going to reflect on them. And I think the challenge for us is to look at our own journeys, look at our starting point, our Ramesses point, okay, and look what's happened in between. And review it and have a think about it and contemplate that and work out what has God done in me in that time? What has God led me through during that period of time? And what is the place that I am currently at in that journey? So there's lots of things. So I'm just going to highlight a couple of things that, well, not a couple, quite a few things there, but God did a lot of stuff with the Israelites in this journey. There were lots of stages, lots of different points of development in their journey. So God dealt with sin in their hearts. That was like a major thing that he started to do. So, I mean, there's quite a lot of incidents, but they were quite rebellious, weren't they? They did quite a lot of rebellious things. God told them to do certain things, and they didn't do it. Like the spies that went into the land, God said, send spies into the land of Canaan, get a report back, and then once you've got your report, I want you to go out and take that land. But they didn't do that, did they? They got a bad report, didn't they? And they were filled with what? Fear. And they didn't act in faith. And that fear, it was a sin in their heart towards God. And God revealed that. And they weren't actually they weren't ready to actually take that land. They weren't ready to be groundbreakers at that point. When Moses went up the mountain for, I think it was 40 days and 40 nights, and he came back down, what had they done?
Golden calf.
Golden calf. Yeah. They'd made some idols. They thought, what on earth has happened to Moses? Where is he? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make some golden calves. I think that might have been a throwback to Egypt. It's always bizarre, that story, especially when Aaron says, yeah, I put some gold in the fire and out came these golden calves. I don't know how that works. Out come these golden calves. And what did they do? They worshipped them. Okay, so it's like the sin of idolatry there. They were complaining. They were grumbling against God. They weren't trusting in him. They were filled with bitterness in their heart. So we have that story where it's not long into the wilderness, actually, where it's a place called Marah, which means bitterness. And they go there and they start to grumble, don't they? And start to complain. We need water to drink. And the water there was bitter, wasn't it? And they couldn't drink it. And it's almost like a reflection of their heart condition at that point. And Moses, at the command of God, throws, I think it's a log, isn't it, into the water. And it says that the waters were healed. Yeah, and that the waters became sweet and that it was drinkable. It's like this process going on deep within them. God revealing stuff. Bitterness. God wants to heal that, and he started to do that. There was pride, wasn't there, where people were saying, is Moses the only person that can hear from God? Is Moses the only person that can minister on our behalf? And there was people challenging his authority. All these things God started to reveal in the wilderness that was deep within their hearts as a group of people. And God taught them how they could be cleansed. That's where the book of Leviticus comes in, Dave. You know, because God brought in all these rules and regulations, didn't he? He says, look, if you commit a sin, what you need to do is you need to take a lamb and you need, or a heifer, or whatever it's called, and shed its blood for that person's sin, or for the sin of, all these regulations. God started to teach them about sin and how they could be cleansed of it. And that's what God does with us. He starts to reveal stuff in us as we walk with him from captivity, and we start to walk with him. He starts to reveal all that stuff that is within us. And he also teaches us about how we can deal with it, how we can be made clean, how we can be delivered. That's what he starts to do. It's a process, it's a stage in your journey. There was quite a few stages like that where they rebelled, and you know, at one point the ground opened up and swallowed people, there was plagues, all sorts of stuff. It was part of the process of death working in that generation and birth working in that generation, a regeneration. There was places where they had to be dependent on God. When they went into the wilderness, yeah, they took the gold and the silver, didn't they, from the Egyptians. But you can't eat gold and silver, unfortunately. That doesn't sustain you for very long. They had to rely on God for the water. They had to rely on God for the food that they ate. Yeah, they had to rely on God for their clothing. They had to rely on God for everything. They were in a dry and inhospitable place. So they learned dependence. They were instructed. They were taught. They were given wisdom and understanding. So God gave them instructions about all manner of stuff, about how to deal with disputes and how to, you know, what food they should eat and what food they shouldn't eat. If someone was unclean or clean, what to do with that person. All of these different things, God gave them wisdom and understanding. But Moses was given wisdom about how to govern. He said, Lord, what are you trying to do? Why have you given me the burden of these people? Why have you done this to me? Why have you brought me out here and given me all this grief, basically? You know, all these people are coming to me with their disputes and their disagreements. I'm expected to make a judgment and, you know, give them advice and guidance. I can't handle this. And then God gave Moses wisdom and basically said, right, select other people that are wise and who that you, you know, people that you trust, and set them in places of authority to help you. So God gave Moses wisdom and understanding. He gave him instruction about how to govern. There was places during this 40 years where the Israelites had to fight. They had to fight other nations that were trying to basically kill them off. God taught them how to fight. God taught them how to stand in battles. There's places in this 40 years where they've had miraculous encounters with God at the Red Sea. When Moses went up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and he came down glowing, and it wasn't ready break. It was God's power. He had to wear a veil, didn't he? They had Aaron's rod. It budded, didn't it? It sprouted branches in it. What did it bear? Almonds. All of these things that took place was the power, the manifestation of the power and the presence of God. This is all part of their journey. Spending time with God. Well, Moses is a good example of that, isn't it? He spent time with God. He had a relationship with God, didn't he? It talks about in there that, you know, I talked with Moses on a face-to-face level, I think it says at one point. Although he said, if you saw my face, you'd die. But he sort of, you know, I talked to Moses like with friends sort of thing. So there's all these, and there's probably a lot more. You know, I'm just really skimming over this. I haven't got enough hours in the day to go over all of this. There's lots of different stages with lots of different points of development that took place. God revealing sin to causing them to be more dependent on him, filling them with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, training them, and them encountering him in his power and developing a deeper level of relationship with him. And that's what God wants to do with all of us. He wants us to experience all of those things. See, our enemy, Satan, wants to arrest your development. He wants your journey to be as long and long-winded and as discouraging as it possibly could be. He wants you to remain in the same location for as long as you possibly can. And in fact, go the other way. You know, so you started off in Ramesses and then you get as far as... Well, let me find a weird and wonderful place. Started off in Ramesses and you thought, well, I'm doing quite well. And you get to... Bear with me, I'm going to say somewhere. Right, you get to Kibroth Hattaavar. It's a little bit like Watford, apparently. You get to Kibroth Hattaavar and you start, you feel like turning back. Well, doesn't sound particularly appealing, does it, Kibroth Hattaavar?
Especially the way you say it, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants you to go back the other way. He wants you to go back to Ramesses. And God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to carry on.
That's right.
And so it's an encouragement this morning to look where you come from, look at the journey you've taken, and see where you are now. Okay? And I believe that God wants to encourage you this morning to continue. Because sometimes we can be tempted to go backwards. And the encouragement this morning, whatever it is, whatever any of these stages are that relate to you, and it could be different for everybody, you might be learning how to be dependent on God at the minute. Yeah, that might be your life at the moment. Some of you might be dealing with sin in your heart, and that's you at that point. Some of you might be having the miraculous intervention of God in their life, and something really marvellous is happening. Good. Some of you might be growing in understanding, knowledge, wisdom. Some of you might be growing in your relationship with God. No matter what it is, God wants you to carry on. He doesn't want you to go backwards. He wants you to develop. He wants you to go on to the next stage of the journey. That's what he wants you to do. Okay? He doesn't want you to go back from Hattaavar Kibroth to Ramesses. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to go all the way along to the plains of Jordan. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us to do this morning, is to carry on the journey that God is leading you on, us on, and allowing that process of death and birth to take place within us. So really, I just want to encourage those people today that I believe there's people here that are probably ground takers, that have, it may be in certain areas, this works on lots of different levels, okay? There could be a part of your life that God, that you're really struggling with, that you're in captivity, so to speak. It could be just one part of your life, it could be one area of your life, okay? And God wants to lead you through that process and take you all the way through for you to be a ground taker. That could be anything. And I believe that God has done that with some people here. I believe that, and I believe that there's probably people here that are at the plains of Jordan and could start to take other steps beyond the journey which they've already taken, which I've just described to you, which is detailed in Numbers, to being ground takers, to start walking in what Joshua did. You know, so we've gone all the way through Deuteronomy and Numbers and so on and so forth, and we get to Joshua, don't we? And that's where they start to take ground, isn't it? They start to destroy the strongholds. The plains of Jericho, what was the... You might not have read it, but on the other side of the river, what town was it? Jericho was on the other side. It says that they camped on the plains of Jordan opposite the city of Jericho. Stronghold. And what do we read about that later on? The walls came down. And it was from that point that they started to take the ground that God had given them and started to destroy the strongholds and started to plunder the enemy. And I just want to encourage people here today that I believe that there's more than a few people, in my opinion, they're on the plains of Jericho. And there's strongholds on the other side of the river. And there's land. And there's plunder that God wants you to take. And my encouragement is to start trusting God and to start taking those steps and start to take that ground and start with God's power and God's strength to take those strongholds and to plunder the enemy. Whatever, no matter what area of your life it is, and it works on many different levels. It could be something simple, something you just struggled with. You know, I'm not going to make this deep and meaningful. It could be just a problem that you've got. You've struggled with it, and God has helped you overcome that, and He wants you to get beyond that. It could be at a bigger level. Yeah, that is just the encouragement that I've got for us this morning. Stages in the journey. Don't be discouraged. Continue on with God. Allow Him to lead you. Allow Him to work in you. It's not always pleasant. Some of these stories are not pleasant, you know. Allow Him to work it out of you. Allow that process of death and birth take place. That's all I can say, really. So, Lord, we just thank You this morning. We give our hearts to You. We open our hearts to You. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would show us our journeys. Holy Spirit, I pray that You show us Ramesses. And You show us all the stages between. And You show us the plains of Jordan. And that You show us the river and Jericho on the other side of that river. And the land on the other side of that river. I pray that You would show us those things. That You would reveal to us, Holy Spirit, where we are in our walk with You. At what stage we are with You, Lord. I pray that You would show us that place. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would encourage us. And that You would speak to us.